going, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:01 on a Wednesday night here in the Delaware Valley. I'm Devon Givens with you as we broadcast, of course, from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, with you until 10 o'clock. Joined by my guy, Tyler Zuli, here producing the show this evening. We'll hear from him throughout the show. Joe Torti will be in at 8 o'clock, so we run 8 to 10 together. So we have a lot to discuss with our local teams. Still some of the leftover hangover stuff from the Astros with all that mess going on. Some Eagles news, of course, jumps in with Nigel Bradham. We can jump into that as well as we go along. The Flyers with a big win last night. But as Mike and Ty were discussing back and forth about the 76ers, and even Tyler and Andrew doing a great job filling in for Anthony today. You know, feel better, Ant. Still out there sick. But might as well start off with some of that a little bit, with some little Sixers conversation about what this team is going to be with the 27 games remaining starting tomorrow, 8 o'clock right here on the Fanatic back in here in Philadelphia against the Brooklyn Nets, where they'll be going for their fourth win in a row, their fourth home win in a row. We know their issues are on the road, so a good contest tomorrow. No Kyrie Irving, so they should get the W coming off the All-Star break. The question that I had, because here in time, I might go back and forth about the Clippers game. Andrew and Tyler doing the same thing about the Clippers game before the All-Star break last Tuesday, where they got the W, looked very good doing it. The defense is always, as we know, a staple for what helps guide the wins for the Sixers overall. Defending Paul George very well. Kawhi Leonard is going to get his. Paul George typically gets his, but you also have to give credit to the 76ers for how they decided to defend him. No Patrick Beverley. Lou Williams struggled that night. Landry Shamet had a better night than Lou Williams off the bench. But the Sixers, arguably their best game together with their group, with everyone back, although Al Horford came off the bench, he finished the game. So a lot of the conversation, of course, being about him being a starter. We know the most important thing is, if it's not setting the tone as the starter, it is also being out there to close things out at the end of the game, which is what Al Horford did for Brett Brown and the Philadelphia 76ers, guiding them to their third win in a row. So here's the thing. If we are to believe that they are going to continue on that path of, right, keeping Al Horford on the bench, then we think it's going to be Glenn Robinson III to start off, right? We really believe that it's going to be Glenn Robinson III to start things off with the starting group. He gives you the best versatility of a two-way player defensively, athletically. What they like to do is switch. They don't have any issues with him being on the perimeter and switching, whereas Furkan Korkmaz, who started in place of Al Horford against the Clippers, while he can shoot and he can score, his issues on a defensive end. He's also a streaky shooter, so if he starts to miss his shots like he did on that Tuesday game against the Los Angeles Clippers, what else is he good for? Yes, he can stretch the floor in terms of pulling a defender away, making you honest and having to defend him, but other than that, you don't want to say it, but he's virtually useless because he's not giving you anything out there on the floor, whether it's offensively or defensively. Length, yes, but it means nothing if he can't stay in front of his man. That being said, Glenn Robinson appears to be the guy who's going to start in place of Al Horford if they continue this thing going forward through the final 27, headed into the postseason. And after thinking about it during the break, I said I wasn't sure which one I would like to see, whether it be Matisse Thybulle, Glenn Robinson III, or Furkan Korkmaz. I think, personally, while Glenn Robinson is a good choice, very good choice, I would like to see Matisse Thybulle as the starter for the 76ers in place of Al Horford. Here's why. Because Al Horford is going to give you that 12-7, right, with the defense and all the stuff that he gives you on the offensive end. And defensively, he's going to be a solid contributor as well. He's also going to be able to defend on a perimeter from time to time, depending on who that four man is when they get caught on switches, where they try to get him caught in those pick and rolls at the top, and they have that quick switch where you can't recover and have your man bounce back quickly to defend that man, where you're able to slide over and get out of the way. Sometimes you can't fall, you know, you can't slide back a little bit, allowing your man to get in between everything. You have to just simply go over it and man up, defend that player. There's a lot of that. And once again, Glenn Robinson III has been starting all year for the Golden State Warriors. He's done a phenomenal job. He's a much better player than we saw him the first time around with the 76ers. But for Matisse Thybulle and understanding what they do, already acclimated to things, and I'm sure Glenn Robinson had a crash course during the All-Star break of what the 76ers like to do defensively with their switching pretty much on everything that they've been doing over the past couple of years because of their versatility from 6'5 and up. I just personally, even though Matisse Thybulle is not as good a shooter as Glenn Robinson III, I would prefer Matisse Thybulle be the guy in the starting lineup because of, again, his quote-unquote elite defense that he's shown us during his time out there on the floor for the 76ers. We've seen it much better, just like a lot of other. We talk about Furkan Korkmaz and his shooting and the splits and everything where he shoots so well at home versus the numbers that he shoots on the road. I just simply think that it's a similar case with Matisse Thybulle where he defends very well. On the road, he struggles a bit. But if you're going to have him perform in the postseason, Glenn Robinson will. Alec Burks will, also a candidate if you want to go that route as well. Furkan Korkmaz will as well. I think Matisse Thybulle, for me, is the right choice. Brett Brown has pressed the right buttons when he's decided to go with these different people. And if it was going to be Matisse Thybulle, and I'm just saying that that's who I would prefer. If it was going to be Matisse Thybulle, let's just say that Brett Brown kind of leaned and gave us an indication of who it would be going forward, coming out of halftime against the Clippers, where he brought Glenn Robinson in as a starter out of the locker room. Not Matisse Thybulle, not Furkan Korkmaz, and not Alec Burks. So while it looks to be that way, I still would like to see Matisse Thybulle, maybe, just maybe, over the time that they were during the All-Star break, spending their time doing what they're doing, looking at all the film, adjusting things that they need to adjust, that maybe Matisse Thybulle is the one who gets the nod. He's gotten a nod early in the season multiple times. He's shown that he can defend elite quality players in this league early on in his rookie campaign. He's hit a little bit of a wall, had a break right here. Hopefully he's come back, rejuvenated legs underneath him, no injuries to worry about to date, and he should be the starter for me, in my opinion. So, with Al Horford coming off the bench, and he performed well with the 9 points coming off the bench for the 76ers in that time, what do you guys think, if they're going forward with Al Horford on the bench for these 27 games, going forward, 27 games postseason, maybe there are some adjustments over the course of this time simply because Brett Brown wants to tinker a bit based on who the opponent is. 14 games at home, 13 on the road. I don't think he's going to go a home starter versus a road starter just because the atmosphere is much better and they perform in that way. No, I think he's going to go with someone and really stick, but doesn't mean that he can't tinker enough because has there really been anything outside of the four with Richardson, Simmons, Embiid, Harris that have knocked your socks off as the starters in place of someone that's been out there on the floor? For me, Matisse Thybulle has performed well as a starter. And that would have been the guy that I would choose if I were Brett Brown. You know, I'm not the biggest Brett Brown fan. Once again, giving him the credit when he's had to make these little tweaks to the lineup that he's pressed the right buttons. And I'm not opposed to Glenn Robinson because I get it. I would just prefer setting that defensive tone first because I think he's a better defender than Glenn Robinson right now and go that route in the starting lineup for that fifth starter for the 76ers. You lose a little bit of offense. I get it. But when he was shooting before the injury, when he was shooting very well from behind the three-point line, that was his best offensive stretch we had seen during this young season for him. And if he's able to get that going again, I think you're in a good spot. That punch with the offense coming off the bench with Alec Burks, Al Horford, Furkan Korkmaz, and Glenn Robinson III, I like that. Not that I dislike Matisse within that group of four. I like that better than what we'll probably get. Glenn Robinson here for a couple of games, two games, played all right. Once again, I understand it. But for me, I would go Matisse Thybulle. So I'm asking you guys to start things off 610-632-0975. the fifth starter. As Mike and Todd were talking about the games going forward, the playoffs, how you feel about things. And we'll get into that. Who should be the fifth starter if Al Horford is coming off the bench? My vote right now will be for Matisse Thybulle. 610-632-0975. And with that, as we talk about what gives you the best chance of winning and going on a winning streak, hopefully stringing together some really good games where the confidence boosts for the team, feeling good going into the postseason like we saw in 17-18 where they ran off the 16 straight. Joel Embiid got injured. Ben Simmons was the one spearheading everything. You had Marco Bellinelli, Ersan Ilyasova, J.J. Redick, who you know is one of my favorites. All of those guys shooting lights out. Robert Covington playing well. Everything rolled together perfectly at that time. Unfortunately, after the first round with Miami, they ran into that buzzsaw, which were the Boston Celtics, because they couldn't figure out things in terms of how to score against that defense. Really, J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons, where he struggled, where he couldn't overcome that Boston Celtics defensive wall and figuring out how to get past that. We don't know what's going to happen once they get past the first round, if they get past the first round, because right now it looks like they're going to be the fourth or the fifth seed simply because of them putting themselves in such a hole because of the road losses, the 19 that we continue to talk about. The number one thing for me that I need to see in the second half, these 27 games, in order to feel good about them advancing past the second round into the Eastern Conference Finals, like I heard Mike and Todd talking about, where they feel pretty good, you know, based on what they saw against the Clippers, still think they can get past the first round, even if they have to start on the road against Miami or even Boston. It will be tough. So, following off of their conversation with the, I guess, looking ahead, you know, it's tough to do. Rest of February, all of March, and midway through April, final game April 15th at home. If you look at what they have in front of them, 14 games, they're going to win at least, let's say, 10 of those 14, right? Mix in a few on the road of the 13 that I want them to be above 500 with their road record. Starting March 1st, they had that four-game road trip. Clippers, Lakers, Kings, Warriors, ending on the 7th of March. Split those two, find a way to get some W's in there to be above 500. 7-6 on the road, that would be fantastic. Ideally better. Where do you have them right now? 27 to go, 14 at home, 13 on the road. I want to ask you guys, ideally, what's the right record for them on the road? Because we can kind of look at, for you, what is acceptable? Because 9-19, we can't have that anymore, right? Well below 500 for them, well below 500 for them, where they are right now with that record. Just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. You should not have the same, and I'm not going to get on a rant about that anymore. You should not have the same record, road record, as the Knicks and the Magic and the Nets and all these other squads, the Charlotte Hornets, that you have no business being in the same conversation with because of where you were projected to be at the start of the season. When you talk about where they need to be at the end of the season, April 15th, going into the postseason, road-wise, what do you believe, what will you look at as acceptable for the 13 games that they have going for them for the remainder of the season? I said above 500, and I'm saying above 500 because they have not shown me enough to feel good and confident to say that they can go and win of the 13, 10, right? That they can go and win 9. I'm just asking for 7-6. I'm not being greedy. I'm trying to be a little realistic here and say, give me better than what you gave me in the first part of the first 55, and let's see what you got the rest of the way. So let's start off there. And, of course, that'll lead into where you think they will be at the end of the season, April 15th, as they close down the regular season. So 610-632-0975. What do you guys have as the fifth starter taking place of Al Horford as he now gets into his role as a reserve coming off the bench? He'll end games because he is Al Horford. He is still a very good defender, offensively, they just needed to switch things up, and Brett Brown did the right thing. A lot of the question, of course, is what took so long, but they finally did. And when you took, when you say what took so long, and I remember speaking to the guys on the morning show about what took so long overall to make that switch, and Trey asked me that. Trey Thomas asked me what took so long. And number one, of course, it's because you wanted to give the starting unit some time together to gel and figure it out and see if they can finally come together with the starting five, the one that we raved about in the offseason when everything was finally put together with the trades and the free agent signings and the overall growth of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, which we still want to see more, but we know that we felt that they would be much, much better. That fit, plus signing the guy to the contract where you want to make sure that you give it every chance in the world to succeed before you pull the plug on it. And then number two, just simply looking at the guy as Al Horford being a pro's pro, and you don't want to do that. And Brett Brown showing the type of guy that he is, the type of coach that he is, trying to be the player's coach instead of, hey, I got to make a tough decision and this is what it's going to be. That's why I think they took so long to replace Al Horford in the starting lineup, to finally waiting to game number 55 against the Los Angeles Clippers to do so. And it did work. Let's see if it continues to work. And let's see if, again, he pressed the right buttons and putting the right guy in his place in the starting lineup. So that's what we're asking you guys again. 610-632-0975. He's going to be on the bench. He's going to play his 27-plus minutes. Who should be the fifth starter? I say Matisse Thybulle. It looks like it's probably going to be Glenn Robinson. Is that the right call? And road-wise, 13 games to go. We feel good about the 14. And we'll hear from Tyler, and Joe Torti will be in there at 8 o'clock. 14 at home. Ty, real quick, how many games you say they win at home of the 14?
11.
Okay, 11 wins. Fantastic. They'll end the season with only 5 losses at home. That's great. 36-5. Fantastic. 13 games on the road remaining with 9 already in hand. What is ideal for you guys, realistically, because they stink on the road right now? They give you nothing to go off of to say that they'll win a lot of road games. I say 7-6. What is good enough for you guys to say they'll still get the 50-plus wins, they'll likely elevate in the Eastern Conference standings and improve their seeding to hopefully have home court advantage of the top four to start things off, and that's where they'll be. So what's ideal? I say 7-6. I say Matisse Thybulle is my starter. We have a lot of other things that we'll get to as well with the 76ers based off the All-Star game. The NBA in general, I have a question to ask you guys as we go along. Tyler and I do. Joe Torti as well when he gets in at 8. So 610-632-0975. And on Twitter right away, before we get to Steve, Andrew, and everybody else, 610-632-0975. Coach_Reegs on Twitter says, I would like to see the Sixers be 9-14 in that last 13 of the road games, just so they have some wiggle room at home, just in case. Might be a long shot, but that's what I'd like to see them finish at on the road. If not, they can't be less than 500 going into the playoffs in terms of those 13. Coach Reegs, great point, because as Tyler just pointed out, 11 of the 14 at home, giving that wiggle room that as good as you are at home, there's that possibility because they've had some tough ones at home going into overtime, some last minute nail biters at the center where they've had to really pull those games out. You're going to probably have to give yourself a little bit of a cushion because you're not going to win all 14 at home and just simply go 39-2 for the remainder all season long at the center. That would be great, though. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli is producing. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti in at 8. We're going to talk some Sixers, mix in some other things as well, still with the Astros. Nigel Bradham let go by the Philadelphia Eagles. And an NBA thing I want to ask you guys based off of what we saw with the All-Star game. 610-632-0975. Let's go right to the phones as we go to Andrew and Ardmore joining us first right here on 97.5. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Don, I just want to say I love your show. Always appreciate what you do.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And really just have one quick question, I guess, just based on the conversation so far. It almost feels like you're mentioning Alec Burks as like a side note, like you're not even considering him to be that fifth starter. I guess I thought he was more of kind of the prized commodity of that trade. Do they just need him to come off the bench for his offense, or what are your thought process on that?
That's exactly what it is. I'm not ignoring him at all because I've been a fan of his since Colorado in college when he played, and he was one of the elite scorers in NCAA. And coming in and playing well for the Utah Jazz sometimes and struggle. I agree with you. He was the star piece for me offensively, defensively. I think it was Glenn Robinson III, and that's why I think they're leaning with the two-way ability overall, Drew, for the 76ers, though. I have to give you that. The two-way ability from both Glenn Robinson being able to shoot as an improved three-point shooter, his defense, and, of course, the switchability on the perimeter where he can guard different guys. And I'm not ignoring Alec Burks because, to your point, they have lacked all year somebody who can come in off the bench and just flat out give you 15. Somebody who can come in, light it up real quick, balance things out where you have that defense. Someone who can take guys off the dribble, take them off the bounce, still get his with the jumper as a 38% three-point shooter, a catch and shoot as well. And when the shot clock is breaking down and everybody's asking about who's going to be the one that can get you a bucket, Alec Burks can do that. So while I would like to see him in the starting lineup, I don't think they're going to go that route, Drew, Brett Brown. That's why I went with defense with Matisse Thybulle because of what we've already seen with him giving the nod to Glenn Robinson III. I'm a fan of Alec Burks. I hope it does work out that way where he is that guy that can just flat out get you some buckets.
Hey, makes perfect sense, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. I like Alec Burks, always have. When he was traded to Cleveland last year from there, I was like, all right, Sixers, why didn't you go out there and try to make that move as well? The guy can score. He can flat out score.
I was confused, honestly, because it was just like, oh my God, like how are we just overlooking this guy? But no, that makes perfect sense.
Right, absolutely, man. And thanks, man. He's a guy that, once again, things break down, 8 seconds left on the shot clock. You give the ball to Ben Simmons, he's going to do what he does. It's inevitable, though, that he's going to get into the paint, jump, and turn around and try to give it to somebody else as a hot potato and have to fire off something with 1 second left on the shot clock. Alec Burks, no. He's going to dip his shoulder, put it in your chest. He's not afraid to go chest to chest at the rim. And he's also able to do what he does with his handle on a string, get to a spot, pull up jumper. And even if he misses, guess what? Nobody else can really do that outside of Josh Richardson for your team. So I like Alec Burks. I just don't think he's going to be a candidate to start. If he does, that would be great. It's more offense, that more offensive punch in the starting unit where you're going with that three-guard lineup of Alec Burks, Josh Richardson, and Ben Simmons. And, of course, we say guard because that's what they call Ben Simmons is a guard, even though I say he's just an overall basketball player. And I think that's what you get from Alec Burks right there, Andrew. So great question to start things off, 610-632-0975. Steve, we'll start with you when we get back. Everybody else, we'll get to you, 610-632-0975. Al Horford will probably continue to come off the bench. I know Brett Brown spoke today at practice. So that fifth starter, is it right for them to continue to go with Glenn Robinson, or would you prefer to see someone else? You just heard Andrew point out how, hey, Alec Burks is being overlooked. Should he get the nod? I go Matisse Thybulle. What do you think? And ideally, on the road, 13 games remaining, what would you like to see their record be at the end of the season with only the 13 games remaining on the road? We know 9-19 already. It's despicable. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't be. But 13 to go on the road, what should they be for you in order for them to improve their W's overall, get a higher seed in the Eastern Conference where they could possibly host a playoff series in round one? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Tyler Zuli producing right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 6:31, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10. 610-632-0975. 0975. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Matisse Thybulle, my choice to start for Al Horford, since he is now coming off the bench for the first time in his career after struggling with the 76ers, trying to fit him in within the offense, things not working, even defensively, all of that, having to be the primary backup for, of course, Joel Embiid, but unfortunately, things did not work out. They are still in a good spot right now in the fifth place in the Eastern Conference. They're trying to move up in the standings. Tough, because we know all the stuff that's going on the road. So Tyler Zuli put together some quick numbers to let us know what things would be. Ty, real fast before we get to everybody on the phones, assuming the Sixers win 11 home games and 7 road games, as you put it, what about the Heat and Celtics?
Yeah, so if that's the case, the Heat can do no better than a 17-11 if you want the Sixers to catch the Heat for the 4 seed. Celtics, even worse, as we know, they're the 3 seed. They can only be 14-14 down the stretch. Heat have one of the easier schedules. I think it's the 5th easiest. Celtics kind of towards the back end, they have a harder schedule.
All right, so the Sixers are 4.5 games behind the Boston Celtics, and the Miami Heat, a game and a half behind them for the 4th spot in the Eastern Conference as things stand right now. So, let's talk about it. What do you guys think about the 5th starter and, of course, the road record? What should it be for the final 13 in order for them to be in a good spot, as Tyler just laid everything out, to move up in the Eastern Conference standing? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Thanks for hanging on, Dave. You're on the Fanatic.
Yo, Devon, what's going on and on and on?
Hey, everything is going on, my man. How you feeling?
Let me tell you something. I was watching on Netflix the White Shadow with Carver Jr. with Carver. What a classic.
Yeah.
And you know, that team stunk on the road as well. Salami and Gogo look like Pistol Pete Maravich at home, but they were horrible on the road.
Being comfortable at home versus the road, man.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I have a great feeling about Matisse Thybulle. And I met him last week. What a good kid. I think
very nice guy.
Yes. I think on the road, he's going to turn into I think he's going to turn into a 20-12 guy. And I think he's going to, as they say, he finally graduated.
20-12?
I feel it.
20-12 what?
Points and rebounds.
Explain that one to me. Yeah, go ahead.
If he gets the minutes, okay, I think he's capable of doing something like that. Maybe, wishing too much, but Sixers are a dangerous basketball team. I believe it's going to be a Celtics-Sixers Eastern Conference Final.
Oh, like somebody's knocking off the Bucks, huh? I don't see it. Yeah. In the first 2 rounds, I don't see anybody knocking off the Bucks, but it would have to be one of the Sixers or the Celtics doing so.
Yeah. Oh, Devon, let me put this in. Club Tyrone's Rutgers Scarlet Knights, another team unbeatable at home. I believe 17-0. They got a big game against Michigan.
Yeah, I heard Mike and Ty talking about it.
As of now, Rutgers is in the tournament as of now. I saw some of the bracketology. Keep up the good work.
Hey,
brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. I don't know where 20-12 Matisse Thybulle will fit in within the Sixers' flow of everything because he doesn't shoot it well enough. He doesn't create it well enough, and he doesn't take enough shot attempts to get 20 in that regard. Now, 12 rebounds also, that's tough to do with Joel Embiid grabbing the amount of boards that he does. The 8 for Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris mixing in his 7, Josh Richardson with his 5. I don't see where Matisse Thybulle is going to average 20-12. That's why I needed that to be explained to me. I'm high on the guy as a defender. Can he improve as a shooter? Yes. He looked good before he was injured. 20-12, not happening for Matisse Thybulle. 610-632-0975. 97.5. Steve in Philly joining us next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, man? Love the show. I love that smooth radio voice you got there.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Hey, so listen, obviously this guy is an elite defender, Matisse, right? He's an elite defender, but for you to put him in there, you know, are you looking for a certain amount of points, or are you thinking he just, you know, opens up the floor and keeps up with the speed of the game offensively?
Yeah, I just think he changes things defensively where he kind of limits things for them. We know where everything is being destroyed for you out there is behind the three-point line. So him blowing up things the way he does from time to time as a rookie and playing the 55, not the 55 because he was injured a little bit, but playing the amount of games that he has, the experience that he's had so far as being one of the top rotational players for this team, I look at it that way. I'm cool with him, Steve, if he comes and starts and gives you, let's say, 8 points a game, but shoots at a very high clip, high 30s, hopefully, getting that rhythm back behind the three-point line and defensively just doing what he does. Get out there in the open floor during the fast breaks, right? He gives you that speed. Occasionally, he'll sneak. He'll throw in one of those sneaky put the ball on the floor things, dribble to the cup and flush it on whoever's right there. He'll do that stuff. So as long as he's consistent, doesn't turn the ball over, starts to shoot at a high clip from behind the 3-point line and plays the defense that we have seen from him where he's been very good, which is why I think he should be in the starting lineup. I think that things will bode well for him and the team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy, you can't deny the guy's popular and I want to sneak this in. I represent a company, a promotional company locally, and we're selling. Love him. Is it his personality?
Well, yeah, his personality is, Steve, hey, that's great, man. Good luck with all of that, too, because he's a great guy. His personality is so cool. Such a nice guy, man. He talks to you, looks you in your eye, shakes your hand, and all that stuff. He's really engaged. He doesn't look past you, as a lot of professional athletes do when you're trying to just simply have a conversation with these players. That's the type of guy that he is. That's the, you know, he's just a cool guy, and that's what makes him so good too with what he does on the defensive end of the floor, and sometimes on the offense with when he contributes the way he does there, which is he's such a nice guy. This is his job though. When he's on the floor, he's locked in. He turns into something different as a defender, locking up some of the guys that are across from him. Making things difficult for the others where you cannot stop them. You just have to make things tough on them and not make it easy, allowing them to get whatever they want on the offensive end. He was drafted for being this defender, which he has shown to be, where I've had these conversations with some of the scouts and different executives from time to time at the games. Very early in the season, I had a guy tell me, a league exec, yeah, he's already better than Robert Covington. No, he doesn't shoot as well, but look at his percentage in general because Robert Covington doesn't shoot it as greatly as you would like for him to shoot from behind the three-point line because it looks good, right? And we've seen him knock down shots. But defensively, he's already there because Robert Covington has the hands, Thibault has the hands and the lateral quickness. His feet move very well to play the defense at that wing position, guarding those multiple guys that he does, from Kemba Walker to Paul George to Jason Tatum to LeBron James, on and on and on, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Donovan Mitchell, all of these players, and he's played well against most of them. He's a rookie, so he's still going to get caught. He's going to get cooked sometimes because it happens. They are elite offensive players in this league, but so far he's shown himself to do very well out there on the floor. 610-632-0975. Taking your phone calls on the Philadelphia 76ers. Back at it tomorrow against the Brooklyn Nets at the center. 8 o'clock tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nationally televised game, so they always play well, perform well in those contests. Coming back from the break with Embiid and Simmons in the All-Star game, they both played well. What is it going to do for the team in general? And Dave says something interesting that I want to, you know, present to you guys as we go forward, as we talk about the road games. 13, what do they do in terms of the splits from home and road? 19 road losses thus far, only 9 wins away from the center. 13 games. We're asking you, what's ideal for you that you believe is good enough for them to try to elevate into the home court advantage seating in the Eastern Conference. I say 7-6. Plus, who should be the fifth starter? 610-632-0975. Zach, we'll start with you when we get back. Tyler Zuli's producing. I'm Devon Givens right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens with you. Joe Torti in at 8, hanging out with you until 10. 610-632-0975. And Dave again asked a great question. As crazy as it was with the 20-12 from Matisse Thybulle, he did ask something interesting that we'll get to in the 7 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. So Miami is in front of the Sixers a game and a half. That is with a 35-19 record. The Boston Celtics sitting in the third slot in the Eastern Conference, 38-16 on the season thus far. It's going to be tough to catch the Raptors in second place. 40-15, you're already six games back of them. That's just going to be difficult to do. So your goal, third or fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. The Sixers have won three in a row. Looking for their fourth straight tomorrow night at the Center, 8 o'clock tip right here on the Fanatic, hosting the 25-28 seventh seed Brooklyn Nets minus Kyrie Irving coming in here tomorrow. And they have to start to put these things together. You only have 27 of them remaining, 14 of them at home, some really good games. Some tough ones on the road still with the Clippers and the Lakers. That stretch there with those being the first two. Then you go to Sacramento to take on the Kings. Rounding things up March 7th with the Golden State Warriors. And that's the game, Ty, where we've been doing our Sixers pregame shows all season long. And when we go out to the various places, we've been a lot of great spots where we've done our Sixers pregame shows presented by Corona. And the grand prize is that game, the Golden State Warriors game on March 7th. I have to ask them, how come I'm not doing the show out there instead of here? Since it's...
We might have to get you to stow away in the team plane or something.
Yeah, I got
to... You know,
we got to talk to Gina about
it's
that.
It's got to be a seat somewhere.
Got to talk to Gina about that, see what's going on. You know? Yeah, I appreciate Corona, my people.
You been out that way before? On the Oakland area?
Nah, I've only been to, as far as I've been, San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be a new experience for you, too.
Yeah, it would be. Especially, you know, during the game since, you know. Yeah. 610-632.
We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen. 610-632-0975. Love Gina, though. Of course, making things happen. We have our next Sixers pregame show Saturday from Kavanaugh's Rittenhouse starting at 6 o'clock. I'll be running solo on Saturday from 6 to 7:45 ahead of the Sixers-Bucks game, the Sunday night game, right? I mean, Saturday night game, the prime time, the premier game on here, right here on the Fanatic. So we'll do that, and then I'll have the post-game coverage as well because I'm filling in for Brian Seltzer, who will be in Milwaukee. 610-632-0975. Zach in South Philly, thanks for hanging on. You're next up on the Fanatic. What's up, Zach?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well, man.
Cool. Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the Flyers and how the NBA actually affects what the Flyers might do at the trade deadline. I just graduated my bachelor's and I just took a class, sports economics. And in the class, we learned that, you know, the NHL and the NBA are very competitive, you know, economically. And because it's interesting because the Sixers are sort of having a down year this year, you know, compared to where they were last year, you know, and the Flyers are, you know, prepared to do, I think, big things because of that. They should capitalize in the market, so to speak. And I think that means that they could go after a really big name player if they shed some cap. You know what I'm saying?
And of course, the Sixers, they did theirs in, during the off season in July and the period right there where they went and added those big names, and they didn't do much at the All-Star game. Pardon me, at the All-Star, at the trade deadline, in terms of big names like a lot of other teams did. They just got pieces that they felt would add. So you're right in that sense there, that the Flyers can jump in and possibly grab some one.
Exactly. They're competing for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Flyers can put out a more entertaining team than the Sixers and start winning, especially come playoff hockey, you know, they're in a sort of similar market. You know, I mean, you sort of compare the fan bases a little bit.
Yeah, but with this, though, Zach, with the Sixers, as the Flyers make the postseason, they get in, they do what they do, it hasn't really, you know, grabbed as good as great as the Flyers fans are. How many really felt they would make the same type of run as the Sixers had in these past two seasons, where the window was open for them in 17-18 when Cleveland was just led by LeBron James last year, where they looked like they should have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Flyers are just, all right, they're in, let's hope they can make a push, where the Sixers were expected to make those pushes these last two postseasons.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm not...
So the expectations are totally different.
Right. I'm talking about here and now. You know, I think
true, but there's still confidence.
The way the chips are on the table right now in the city of Philadelphia, the Flyers should go all in on maybe doing a first round pick and Shane Gostisbehere and get a forward with some term left on his contract because get that salary retained. You know what I'm saying? So get like an $8 million forward. Have them retain $4 million and give them a first round pick. Because teams will trade forwards for, they will trade basically salary for a first round pick. And you're getting a Shane Gostisbehere, who's a defenseman, $4.5 million with term left on. As long as Gostisbehere is good to go, you know, if the knee's not, you know, a big thing, you know, because he's technically hurt right now coming off the surgery. If he's able to be, you know, traded, with his injury status, I think a first round pick in Shane Gostisbehere for a $8 million forward with half that salary retained would be an amazing get for the Flyers. And I think that would be economically the best thing for the Flyers to do right now. It would put people in the seats.
Well, I appreciate it, Zach. I mean, anytime you make a trade, you get a jolt, especially if it's a nice name, hot name, and Ghosts. Not like the rookie year the past couple of seasons. So if you do something like that, it's right there. That's somebody with the name. You add a draft pick to it, and you go out there and you get a big name player where you're assuming that he's going to make a big difference to what you're doing by making the push with the Flyers right now at 33-20 with 33-27 with 73 points. Of course people are going to jump in, right? Of course they're going to be attached to the entire thing as to them making that push because of, you know, how it goes where guys can jump and teams can jump in as the ace steals. They'll make a lot of noise, and next thing you know, they're in the NHL finals and we're Stanley Cup finals and we're talking about something really, really big.
Well, and it's funny, too, that he broke it down almost from an economic standpoint.
Yeah.
Economic standpoint.
Yeah. 8-4, all that.
You don't think of them as separate entities, you know, or combined entities, I should say. You think of them as separate entities. You know, it's the NHL, it's the NBA. They don't overlap, but it's, I mean, he's correct in the fact that they play in the same building. I'm sure that they are not trying to vie for fans, but they, you know, they
kind of are.
They kind of are. So it makes a lot of sense to say that if the Sixers went out and made their big signing in free agency at the beginning of this, before the season started, the Flyers may try to counter that. It's interesting. You don't think about it that way.
Yep. I hear you.
You don't want to play that way, play against a team in your city just because, you know, you're playing against the other teams in your league. But it's an interesting thought.
Yep. 610-632-0975. That's Tyler Zuli. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti in at 8. Man, that 6 o'clock hour went fast as we talk about the 76ers' fifth starter, Al Horford, coming off the bench. Looks like that's going to be remaining going forward. So who should be the fifth star? It's probably going to be Glenn Robinson. Is that the right choice? 610-632-0975. And with the road woes, 9-19, 27 games remaining. Still trying to make a push to get into that fourth seed in the Eastern Conference to host the playoff series game number one, and you know how it goes. If you get to game seven, You would like for it to be back here in Philadelphia. So, in order for them to do that, they need to be better on the road. What should their 13-game road record look like closing out the season? Ideally, to help out, 610-632-0975. I'm looking at Twitter, and yeah, Dave from Center City, people not liking that. Dave from Center City is absolutely hot right now. It's 20-12 from Matisse Thybulle. That's what we get on Twitter. That's the content that we get. We'll continue to Sixers talk on the other side, introduce some other things as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.